Last Wednesday night, we started a study of the book of Galatians. And tonight, we are continuing that study, and we are picking up in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10 tonight. And this is what it says: "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." A distinguished visitor was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas to speak at the annual Chamber of Commerce luncheon. Arch Lustberg, the communications consultant from Washington, said, "I teach likability. I've learned that likability wins the job, the promotion, the election, the acquittal." Paul Greenberg was the editorial page editor of the Pine Bluff Commercial at the time, and he was not sold on that philosophy of likability. He wrote an article expressing his disagreement with Arch Lustberg. Greenberg's article portrayed Abraham Lincoln as a better model of a man, and likability was not Lincoln's chief goal. On the contrary, Lincoln was a man of unsettling words who didn't cry peace and progress in a time of mounting crisis, and who saw the Civil War as God's just retribution on our nation. When the Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to the Galatians, his aim was not likability. His words are a bit unsettling as he discloses what the problem is with the Galatians. The problem with the Galatians is that they deserted the true gospel for a distorted gospel. Three things stand out in chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 in regard to this distorted gospel. First of all, accepting a distorted gospel is foolish. Verse 6 and 7 says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Why is it foolish to accept a distorted gospel? First of all, to accept a distorted gospel is to desert God. Notice verse 6 says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Accepting a distorted gospel is deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ. And who is Him who called you in the grace of Christ? Most of the versions of the Bible say, "Him who called you in the grace of Christ." And it is obvious who that is. But the New Living Translation says it like this: "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to Himself through the loving mercy of Christ." To accept a distorted gospel is to turn away from God Himself. The King James Version says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel." The New King James Version says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ." Most of the other versions use the word desert. you are so quickly deserting Him who called you. That is the correct translation of the word. The word means to transfer or to fall away or desert from one person or thing to another. That word is used in a military sense of a defection. When someone in the military deserts or defects to the other side, it is this word. So, when someone accepts a distorted gospel, he is a defector. He is a deserter. He transfers his allegiance from God to the other side. God calls us in the grace of Christ. And if we accept a distorted gospel, then we are deserting God. Accepting a distorted gospel is foolish for another reason. A distorted gospel is a different gospel. When verse 6 and 7 says, you are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one, there is something in the Greek text that you do not see in the English translation, especially the King James Version. In the Greek language of the New Testament, there are two words for another, and both of them are used in verses 6 and 7. One is used in verse 6 and the other is used in verse 7. There is a word for another that means another of a different kind. And that word is heteros. Now, the word that he uses here in Galatians 1:6 is heteros. Another of a different kind. There is a word for another that means another of the same kind. That would be allos in Greek. Another of the same kind. And that word is used in verse 7. Now the newer versions like the New American Standard Bible, the New King James Version, the NIV, and the ESV have sort of taken care of this in order to convey the meaning of it. But it is very strong in the Greek. What Galatians 1, 6, and 7 is saying is that the gospel that they are turning to is not another gospel of the same kind as the true gospel that Paul preached to them, but it is a gospel of another kind, a different kind. It is so different that it is not the true gospel at all. A distorted gospel is a different gospel. And verse 7 says there is not another gospel of the same kind. Paul makes it clear that there is only one true gospel, the gospel of the grace of Christ. There are not two or three or many gospels of the same kind that lead to the same end. All other gospels, but the true gospel, are different gospels with different ends. The difference is lethal. That is why it is foolish to accept a distorted gospel. Another thing that stands out about this distorted gospel is this. Asserting a distorted gospel is accursed. Verse 8 and 9 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. This is strong language by a man who is obviously not striving for likability. The word accursed in verse 8 is the word anathema. Anathema is a word that was used for offerings to God in the temple. Now, how did a word for offering come to mean something that is accursed? J. Gresham Machen explains it this way. The fundamental idea when a thing is called anathema is that the thing has been taken from ordinary use and has been handed over to God. If it is a good thing, it has been handed over to Him for His use. If it is a bad thing, it has been handed over to Him for destruction. But in either case, men have no more to say about it. It is taken out of ordinary relationships and it is devoted to God. There is an illustration of this in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6 and 7, the story is told of Israel taking the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor.' The Israelites were to march around the walled city of Jericho for 6 days, and on the seventh day they were to march around it 7 times, after which the priests would blow the trumpets and the walls would fall down. In Joshua 6:17 through 20, God said, 'And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction.'" That is what we are talking about. Anathema. "Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." Well, the people did as the Lord instructed them, and the walls came down, and Rahab and her family were spared. But notice what happened in chapter 7. Joshua 7:1 says, "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." Achan took some of the devoted things, some of the things that were anathema, and hid them in his tent, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. So when Israel went to Ai, they were defeated. Joshua cried out to God, and God told him the reason they were defeated at Ai was because there was sin in the camp. Someone had taken some of the devoted things. The man who did it was Achan. Achan was called out and confessed, and all Israel stoned him to death and buried him under a heap of stones in the valley of Achor. That is what Paul is asserting for these people who distort the gospel. Why does Paul curse these perverters of the gospel? It is because they have altered the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of Christ. It is about Him and it belongs to Him, and it is not man's message to change in any way. It is anathema for anyone to distort the gospel of Christ. Men who lay violent hands upon the gospel of Christ are to be turned over to God for judgment, much like Achan was turned over for judgment, with the only difference being that God will carry out the judgment instead of us stoning them. It has been pointed out that in another context, Paul was not quite so harsh, and that maybe he contradicts himself here. For instance, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, Paul says, "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Why does Paul rejoice on the one hand in Philippians 1 when the gospel is being preached, whether in pretense or in truth, and denounce on the other hand in Galatians 1 anyone who is preaching a gospel contrary to the one you received from me? The reason is that the case of the ones referred to in Philippians, their motives were wrong, but their message was right. In the case of the Galatians, the message was distorted. Paul could tolerate men preaching the gospel with the wrong motives, but Paul could not tolerate the distortion of the message of the gospel. Distorters of the gospel are to be accursed. The third thing that stands out about this distorted gospel is this: allegiance to God and the true gospel is imperative. Verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." There is but one true gospel, and it must be preserved at all costs. As long as the integrity of the gospel was not violated, Paul was a conciliatory man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, Paul said this: "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." It may have been in reference to this that Paul was accused of being a men pleaser. If it was, he was misunderstood, or else he was misrepresented. A messenger of the gospel can adapt himself to all kinds of situations, but the message must always be the same. Paul never compromised the message of the gospel, though he sacrificed his own convenience on many occasions. He was not trying to be a men pleaser. He was trying to win as many people as he could to Christ. There are a lot of decisions that we make, or actions that we take, that cause us regrets later on because of the consequences that we suffer. But many times we are able to overcome those things. In the case of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is imperative that we get it right, because the consequences of getting it wrong are eternally lethal. The ultimate issue is our relationship to the Lord, and that is dealt with in the gospel. That issue is so great that it overshadows all of the other issues that face us. We must get the message of the gospel right. And that's what Galatians helps us to do. Let us pray.